right, welcome to another episode of Game Changer. Today we're going to talk about dealing with negative thoughts. And actually, it's funny because right before we came on air today, Diane, we had a little episode where we didn't like the camera angles and things like that, right? And we had to deal with those negative thoughts. So right up until the bell, just so you
and
know.
And who do you believe had the problem with that? Me or Villa?
Oh, no, you did. You did. Come on. Come on. But you know what? Dealing with negative thoughts is a real thing. It happens to the best of us. And you know, it's interesting getting ready for the podcast, walking into the studios. I'm not talking about this morning or yesterday or this week or this weekend or last week. I'm talking about this morning, even sitting in this very room, you have the temptation or you have negative thoughts. Negative thoughts are going to come your way, right? Negative thoughts, by the way, aren't sin. It's what you do with those negative thoughts. It's negative thoughts in themselves, you know, are really just the beginning of how the enemy will cause, will try to take us down the wrong path. And it's what we do with it's harboring those negative thoughts. It's fostering those negative thoughts. It's giving life to those negative thoughts. It's perpetuating those negative thoughts. It's multiplying and adding to and dwelling on. So that's why Philippians talks about think on these things. But even thinking on these things is not in itself the right way to do things. So it's really thinking is part of it, but really thinking comes from what you say, and what you say comes from your heart, and your heart comes from really is a litmus test of where we are, right, with the Lord. And so all of us have struggled at times with negative thoughts. I mean, that comes from learned patterns in our relationships or from distorted perspectives we picked up along the way. But here's the thing. We can't really change our behavior without changing our thoughts. I'm going to say that again. We can't really change our behavior without changing our thoughts. And Scripture, you know, in Romans 12:2, urges us to change our thinking, to renew our minds. And Diana, look up Romans 12:2 here for a second. So again, we're talking about dealing with negative thoughts, how to deal with negative thoughts. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a widely listened to episode today. And I want to challenge you while you're listening to this today. I'm going to say this in the beginning as well as the end. But if you're listening to this, put your thoughts in writing. Comment your thoughts. Comment on how negative thoughts have taken you the wrong way. Comment on how maybe you've overcome thinking and dwelling on negative thoughts and how the Word of God has helped you in that. And maybe you've got a testimony in that. But, you know, maybe you're struggling with something, and this is the place to put that out there, because you're not putting it out as a negative thought. You're putting it out there as, hey, this is a prayer request that I need. But in Romans 12:2, you know, Scripture urges us to change our thinking, to renew our minds, and we can't change our behavior without changing our thoughts. Diana, read Romans 12:2 there.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Let's break that down for a second. So it says don't be conformed, right, which is become like, right, turn into, confined by, right? Don't be conformed to the world, but be
molded,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So transformed into what?
I automatically think of a transformer as a kid. Yeah. Which started out as a car, and then it transformed this like massive like beast. Mm-hmm. So you know, that means change,
right?
Change your physique, change your, you know, opposite direction. I think 180. It's a change. You know, I do want to hit on something when we talked about thinking is does not make you less of a Christian because you have a thought that's contrary to God's best, God's word. It doesn't, that's normal. It's what you do with that thought.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so we're not talking about
I think there's that condemnation sometimes can come because you think as a Christian, because I have, you know, made this decision to live for Christ, that we have a thought or we're tempted and we put condemnation on ourselves because we feel like as a Christian, how could I think that way? No, yeah. It's what you do with it.
Yeah. We're not talking about how to not have negative thoughts. We're talking about how to deal with negative thoughts. Negative thoughts are going to come. Can I just say this? You're on a diet, and you want to eat right, so you're not having donuts. So you've gotten past the point where you're not, you know, going to eat a donut when someone brings it. But you know, you're driving into the donut store, you know, and you kind of circle into the parking lot one time and you leave. That's not a sin against your diet. The thought of having one is not a sin against your diet. It's when you drive around the parking lot five times and you wait for someone to back up to create a parking space for you and get out of your car and go in. You know, there's a difference. So negative thoughts are going to come. So let's look at some tips on how we can, you know, change our behavior, you know, by changing our thoughts. And so number one, I'm going to put down here, Diana, and I got a scripture, Philippians 4:8, that's going to go along with this. Avoid spending energy on things you can't control. So first tip, avoid spending energy on things you can't control. Mentally strong people don't complain about bad situations beyond their control. They recognize the one thing they can always control is their own attitude. You know, my favorite, one of my favorite things out there on attitude is the attitude poem by Charles Swindoll. And if you look that up, you can Google Charles Swindoll attitude. It's really good. And he talks about the one thing that we can control is attitude. Well, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, think on these things. So what the Bible's doing is saying, shift your thinking. So you have a negative thought that comes into your mind. You know, there's the bounce theory. Bounce it back out. The way you bounce it back out is to begin, you have to deliberately make an actual move to shift to something positive. So you got to avoid spending energy. So you're going to think of things that you can't control. Those are going to be sometimes the first thing that comes to your mind in the morning when you wake up, where you are financially, mentally, relationally. These things could bombard because the moment you wake up, right, God's like, good morning. The devil's like, good morning, you know, and then he begins to infiltrate your mind because he wants to start there. He doesn't waste any time. He's there before you get up. And so also, though, the Holy Spirit's there before you get up. So you got to avoid spending energy on things you can't control. But you do that by shifting and using Philippians 4:8 and focusing on what is good, what is honorable, what is reputable, what is lovely, etc. And think on these things. So avoid spending energy on things you can't control.
The bounce thing is a really, I think, necessary tool in those situations. My son-in-law, our youngest daughter just had a little girl. Yay! So we are grandparents of three now, three wonderful girls. And my son-in-law, you know, was kind of a little bit, I noticed that he was a little bit upset. I said, hey, what's going on? And he mentioned that he was a little bit upset that his grandmother wasn't here to see his daughter. And I used an illustration of the bounce thought. Is for me, I lost my father almost next month will be 4 years. And so I always have to do that when I think of him. So when I have pivotal moments in my life, there's probably not a day that I don't think about him, but when I have pivotal like markers in my life, I automatically think, oh, I wish he was here. And if I let my thoughts go down that path of like what I'm missing out on with him not being here, I have to bounce it to like, I've trained myself that versus hanging out what he's missed out on, I have to put my thoughts to good memories with him, or I'll go down a bad path. And I shared that with my son-in-law. And my point to that is you have to bounce it. You're going to experience negative thoughts. You're going to experience pain, but you have to bounce it back. I think sometimes we think of it that we're going to dodge it. No, sometimes you can't dodge things. You got to catch it and throw it back.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of it. You got to throw it out of bounds. Don't keep it here. Let it go. Like, push it out. And I think that's been really pivotal for me in those hard moments, because I could dwell on a lot of different things, which brings us to the second point. Mm-hmm. Avoid dwelling on the past. Mm. You know, you can't stay there. There's power. There's strength. There's authority in acknowledging your past and what you've come through and what God's given you victory over, and what we've learned from it. But a mentally strong person avoids letting past mistakes define them. So if we let those things define us, we'll be paralyzed. Yep. And here's the thing, God has good things for us, right? He never allows us to experience it. Things happen either because God wills it or allows it. But it's not so we can stay stuck in quicksand. It's so that he can give us power and authority to overcome. Why? Because there's somebody else out there that needs to know that they have power and authority through Christ Jesus to overcome the things that he's already given us power to overcome, but that you've also, we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It is our testimonies that actually lead people to understand, like, hey, if when they grab a hold of it, if they did it for that person, I know he can do it for me. They invest... strong people invest the majority of the energy in present and future versus staying focused on the past. There's a great analogy for that. You know, the windshield of the car is much wider, and so if you're focusing, it's bigger, and the rearview mirror is very small. There's a reason. You want to put more focus on the big. If you drive down the road through that rearview mirror, you're going to be in a lot of trouble because you're going to be making decisions moving forward based on looking back this way, so you're probably going to run into something. So it's really important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have become new. So here's the thing. How do we have old things that passed away? That is, I'm going to say it, repentance. It's not a sorry, it's not an apology, but old becoming new is about laying down that old person, those old negative thoughts, old behaviors, you're laying them down, and the new is when you go down, right, that baptism, and you come back up, you are new because you've left those things behind, you've done a 180, you're not holding on to those things, you're letting go. So I think repentance is this turning away, repentance of our thoughts, our actions. So I think that's a really important thing, because without repentance, you return back a lot of times to the old things because you're still kind of hanging on to them. So that's my opinion on that.
Good stuff. Avoid dwelling on the past. You know what, you don't live there. And you know, and by the way, if you're continually bringing up your past, it's not your past. Think about that for a second. If you continually every single day bring up your past, then it's not your past anymore. Or if you continually bring up your past is still affecting you. It's still your present. And so, number three, avoid giving up after failure. This is another tip, right? So number one was avoid spending energy on things you can't control. Number two, avoid dwelling on the past. Number three, avoid giving up after failure. Every failure, okay, is a chance for improvement. And, you know, and look, here's the reality. The reality is true failure, is true failure in a sense is kind of final, because, you know, failure doesn't really happen when you still have life. Failure doesn't really happen when you still have a day in front of you, an opportunity, because you can always start over. You might have had a setback or a defeat or a disappointment, or, you know, you might have a reversal or move backward in some things. You may have to start over, but it's not really failure. So, but let's use the word failure here for the understanding. Avoid giving up after failure. So every failure or every setback, every disappointment, every time you have to start over, every time you don't make it or you miss the mark, it's a chance for improvement. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We talked about this verse last week on the podcast as well. So Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite scriptures. God takes everything, the good, the bad, right? He takes the failures. He takes the missteps. He takes the mismarked. He takes the times when you fall short. He takes every one of these disappointments and discouragements, and he takes the victories. He takes the good. He takes the great. He takes all of it, and he uses it for his glory, for your purpose in him. And so avoid giving up after failure.
For me, that is a picture of, I believe the Lord gave me a message. It was probably, I would venture to say, maybe even 20 years ago, and I've talked about it since on a couple of different occasions, but the picture of a diamond in the raw is not very beautiful. I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but it's not really something that people go after. Mm-hmm. You can, matter of fact, you can discard it. You can kind of think, oh, it's not much. It's not until the cuts of that jeweler begin to happen, the precise cuts, and that's life sometimes. We're this diamond in the rough, and we want to shine bright like a diamond, but it's the cuts of life and how we allow the maker of the universe to allow those things we've experienced to cut us. It's not until the cuts of a diamond happen is when the light is able to shine through. And so even diamonds, once they've made those cuts and they have like little imperfections, they're still beautiful. It's very rare to have a perfect, colorless, without inclusions. There's not a lot of those out there, and there is a high price, but it's like those ones, they're just as beautiful. The light shines through it's how the light shines through, so it's those cuts. So I feel like we can't be upset about failures or disappointments or struggles. We have to view them not as something that's held us back, but recognizing that if we allow the Lord to see us through, it'll be that cut that allows the light of the Lord to shine through. And who's that for? The world, the people around us that says, hey, I've been cut, but God's still shining through. He's seen me through. So it's how you approach it. You can look at it as devastating, which, yes, of course, we experience sometimes hard times. But if we allow the Lord to work that whole process out, it'll ultimately be for his our good, for his glory. So, and then 4, avoid resenting other people's successes. It takes strength and character to genuinely feel joy and excitement for other people's successes. This is not something that I've necessarily struggled in, because I enjoy seeing other people like reach successes. God's been good to me, but that's not something, but I know it is a struggle. And I think part of the reason why, you know, if you keep a heart open that if God can get it through you, he can get it to you, and you don't resent, it gives me hope to see people succeed. It gives me like that push, like, hey, if they've done it, I can do it. But I think you have to be, I think it's a fine line of being joyful and being envious. The heart of 1 Corinthians 13 says, rejoice with others. Love doesn't become jealous or resentful when others succeed. And that's so true. I hope and I pray that God will give me the strength, but I've always used people's successes as something that encourages me that I too, because God's no respecter of person, that I too can, you know, it goes from wishing I could have things to going like, hey, if they have gone before me and they can do it, I can do it through Christ.
Maybe something to kind of put into this context when you're thinking about it, because we're talking about how to deal with negative thoughts. So the avoid resenting other people's successes for today's lessons in the context of that becoming a negative thought, you know, to affect you from your purpose and your journey. So one thing to think about, I think, as well, is the price they paid. You know,
yeah,
part of the price they paid to have the success and to get there could be what you're experiencing. So they too could have had, you know, I remember in part of our journey, you know, there were negative thoughts that I had to deal with that were just like negative thoughts that maybe you had to deal with. And so when you begin to look at that, you know, and I struggled in times, you know, often early on, you know, with maybe resentment in that respect of looking at, well, why can't I get there? I've been trying this or doing this. Well, realizing that's part of the journey, is going through those types of things. And every person that's ever achieved success has experienced those types of thoughts and has had to learn how to deal with those types of thoughts. Because here's the reality. We're talking about dealing with negative thoughts today. If you do not deal with negative thoughts, then negative thoughts will deal with you. You know, and that's the whole purpose of, I believe that's the purpose and the validity of having to discuss how the Bible's blueprint on how to deal with negative thoughts, because God knows how powerful and how serious negative thoughts can be and how they can take us down paths that we don't need to go.
You know, I have to say there, I was thinking when we first started talking about that point, we're thinking of successes like maybe business, you know, financial. But as you were just talking, I kind of came to the conclusion of maybe being resentful someone has a successful marriage, mm-hmm. or their kids are, you know, serving God and not. So let's make sure we're defining that properly. Like, if God can take this messed up girl and still use her in a way that allows, like, for me, my kids are always a picture of grace. Like, if I've seen other people like, man, I wish my family was like that, or hey, you know, I grew up like, I just was determined I wasn't going to raise my kids in a divorced home. I experienced that, and I had great parents, but there were some challenges being raised by a divorced family. And so I just made a decision very young that I just will never do this to my kids. Well, that came with a price. And even when I wanted to give up, I had to hold true to that. So successes in marriages and families, like not to be resentful, but recognize that God has empowered them to overcome and that they've gone through things too. It's very easy in life, right? Let's talk about marriage. It's easy to live separate lives but be in the same home. It's easy to be resentful to your spouse because maybe they aren't meeting the needs that you feel like you're due or earn. Everyone's paid a price, so an Instagram picture of life may look, so don't resent that, but go, hey, they probably paid a price. They've had to put some practical steps to encourage a good family, a good marriage. So I don't want to define it just by success of business or financial, but I think success in general. Yeah.
Number five, last one, and we went a little long today in this. Hopefully that you, I even thought about splitting this over two episodes, but I really feel like this is beneficial today. So how do you deal with the negative thoughts? Number five, avoid worrying about pleasing others. So do you know any people pleasers? I feel like I could be one of those. I want people to like me. I think that by nature, a lot of human beings do, but people who go out of their way to please others, that's what I'm talking about, right? Who want approval. People who are mentally strong are able to withstand the possibility that someone will get upset with them, even if they speak up. So, you know, if you want to deal with negative thoughts, avoid worrying about pleasing others. And the way you do that, again, kind of going back to that balance theory a second, you have to replace it with something. So you know what? Be a God pleaser rather than a people pleaser. So be that way about pleasing the God of the universe. I want to please you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to please you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do the right thing, right? The hard right versus the, you know, the easy left, right? And so the hard right decision, the godly integral decision, the thing that I need to do. And so, you know, we have to align our thought life with God's truth so we can be who we were created to be in Christ. And that's the key, right? We have to align our thought life with God's truth. So what the world says might even be a fact. There may be some facts out there, but facts and truth are different. You know, facts may be the way it is, but truth says this is the way God says it is. And so truth will set you free. And so, you know, you may very well be, you know, struggling financially, but truth says, that might be a fact, but truth says that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the fact may be that, you know, it seems like all these obstacles are against me, but the truth says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? If God's for me, who can be against me? And so, you know, fact may say, you know, I'm struggling with this thinking and what, you know, this is the way it looks and this is the way the situation seems. And, you know, I don't think it's going to work out. It's going to probably not work again. Well, Ephesians 3:20, the truth says, unto him who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to his power that works in you. So avoid worrying about pleasing others, be a God pleaser. Amen. Those are five tips on how you can deal with negative thoughts. Diana, do you have anything in closing?
I do. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is the ESV version, which is probably one you've heard a lot. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And that's kind of like a version that a lot of people here have heard. But if you go to the Message, it lumps in verse 3 or 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live our fights, our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. And that sometimes is in our thoughts. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ, our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity.
Amen. That's good. What is that? What's the scripture?
That was 2 Corinthians 10. The main verse is 5, but if you go into the message, it's verse 3 through 6.
2 Corinthians
10.
10, 3 through 6 in the message.
Yes.
In the main verse is 5. All right, awesome. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed hanging with us today. We're talking about how to deal with negative thoughts. Look forward to your comments. Remember, put them in. Share it, like it, subscribe. Also, click the little notification bell so that you can find out when latest episode of Game Changer drops on YouTube. Also, on Apple and Spotify. If you're a Spotify or Apple user, make sure you subscribe as well. Please, also on social media, tag us. Our social media handle is right here on the screen. And just let us know what God's doing in your life. We love to see testimonies. Maybe we'll read some of them on air here soon. Also, if you want to get connected with our marketplace ministry, with everything that we do, you can go to the Apple Store, you can go to the Google, the Android Store, you can download Game Changer by IPD Agency. That's our app, and you could join our community of over 15,000 people that receive all types of resources for free. That's there, and we'd love to have you connected with that as well. Hey, we look forward to seeing you guys next time on Game Changer. Love you very much. Have a great day.